Welcome back to Sports Interview with Ann Liguori, and it is my pleasure to say good morning to Dr. Jeff Pawlarski, who has been offering the metropolitan and Long Island area his expertise in chiropractic care and sports medicine for over 20 years, and he's been a longtime friend. Jeff, thanks so much for coming on Sports Interview.
Yeah, always enjoy being on your show, and I'm out here in San Diego, as you know, so we got that three-hour time frame, but excited to be on your show for sure.
So Jeff has been working with United States Golf Association for about 17 years now, running their wellness programs on site. He does not only the U.S. Open, but the Senior Open, the U.S. Amateur. And, people don't realize how much goes into, you know, making sure these players and spectators, right, enjoy a great experience at the U.S. Open. So talk a little bit about the Wellness Center, Jeff.
You know, what I tell people is it's like I'm actually building a medical office at the U.S. Open. You know, when I first got into practice 20 years ago, 25 years ago, what did I have to do? I had to put phone lines, fax lines in, get a TV, get refrigerated, get medical equipment. I'm doing the same thing at the U.S. Open. We have a 12-by-60 trailer, which is right in the player compound. We were here 3 days before the championship started, and I build a mobile office, you know, providing chiropractic care, physical therapy, massage therapy, athletic training services, and a whole bunch of other things that we give access to the players and the caddies, and they really enjoy the experience because it's right here at the facility. They don't have to seek out anybody outside the gate here at Torrey Pines.
So what would a typical day be for you during tournament week?
Yeah, so the days are pretty exhausting. I get here this morning. I got here at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I leave around 7 o'clock at night. So, you know, you got your 14, 15, 16 hour days. You know, we're advertised to do these treatments 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., but a lot of players and caddies will come in and say, listen, I'm going off at 6 o'clock in the morning, or I'm going off at 7 in the morning. Could you stretch me? Or maybe I have a little injury. Can you, you know, work with me before? And then we come in early. And that's why I'm here at 5 o'clock. As the chairperson, it's my responsibility to be the first one on the golf course. And I'm one of the last ones to leave at night.
So do you have players, Jeff, who visit you every day as part of their fitness routines?
Yeah, sure. We see a large portion of, you know, the amateur golfers, some of the qualifiers, and some of the other players do come to us. You know, we prepare them. You know, we prepare them for the round, or we'll do something after the round as far as recovery. Recovery is a very, very big part of golf performance. They want to come in and recover to get back on the golf course the next day, and that's one of our expertise for sure. Now, what we do tell people too, you know, is that, you know, the top 50, 60 players in the world, a lot of them have their own team that follows them around. Like they'll have a chiropractor or a massage therapist, a nutritionist that follow them from tour stop to tour stop. In fact, some of those doctors and therapists are in a tent right next to my trailer. USGA gives them an opportunity to bring in them, and we help them out. You know, we give them the towels and we gave them water and we gave them some equipment to make their life a little bit easier too. It's funny because I was talking to somebody from London, a therapist who has a couple of players. And he came into my trailer. He's like, you got all of that equipment? You know, you got Normatex and you got heating devices. And I'm like, yeah, well, you know, I drop ship all that stuff, where a lot of those therapists and doctors are on the road 40 weeks out of the year with them. They just travel with a little light portable table. And that's about it. So we assist them too. We make them feel comfortable on the property also.
So give us an idea, if a player visits you before his round, what do you tend to do for that player as opposed to the recovery after they play?
Yeah, that's a great question because, you know, in my early years working with players, I would go into stretching, you know, before a round. I remember working one of the US Opens. I'm not going to mention the player, but I stretched him for about 90 minutes. And I don't know if that was an appropriate thing to do. Stretching before golfing is, according to the experts, is not the best thing to do. You need to activate muscles. So what I would do is I would do more of like a workout with them versus stretch. Like, for instance, the glute muscles, which play a huge factor in golf and lower body stability, we try to activate those glute muscles through exercise. And by the way, all the exercises, so it's kind of like guided exercise prescription, getting them ready, activating those muscles that are really important in the golf swing. And all the exercise we do, by the way, are in 2 seconds. So I don't know if you know anything about a bridge. A bridge is if you lay down on the ground and you would take your lower body and kind of bridge it up like your belly button up to the ceiling. You'd hold that for 2 seconds and then drive your gut down into the ground, belly button driving into the ground. And then you'd come back up for 2 seconds. And what that's doing is that's activating the muscle in a 2 second cadence. The golf swing is 2 seconds, right? Why would you want to hold a stretch for 90 seconds? Not appropriate for golf specific warm up. So you're activating muscles. And of course, you got to do rotation, which is a big part of golf. So you would activate those muscles that are involved with the rotary aspect of the game. So it's more about activating the muscles than stretching before rounds.
So what other kind of exercises would you do to activate the muscles? It's interesting. I'm hearing this for the first time that stretching isn't as recommended prior to a round as activating the muscles, but maybe it's kind of somewhat similar, no?
Yeah. You know, so stretch, you know, there's all different types of stretching. As you know, I'm doing some work at Bethpage with Kelly Brook there. I'm the golf performance director at Bethpage. And I kind of laugh when I go out to the range because what are most golfers doing? Well, they're going down and touching their toes and holding it for 2 minutes, you know, or they're doing their back extension and holding it for 2 minutes. Again, there's no swing that you're doing for 2 minutes. So I'd rather you see do a back bend and hold for 2 seconds and then repeat the movement over and over again, maybe for about 90 seconds. So always think about golf. The spine is very, very critical. So to answer your question, you'd have to do some activation of the spine. So remember, the spine rotates from right to left. And the spine, like I just said, goes down and touches your toes and does a back extension. So keep it basic with no equipment. Just do some back extension, but just hold it for 2 seconds. Activate the back, 1, 2, and then release. And then activate it again, 1, 2, like you're looking up towards a ceiling, like you're painting a ceiling as back extension. And if you want to go down and touch your toes, again, only do that for 2 seconds and then come back up again and then repeat it 20 or 30 times. So we have a whole program, by the way. We have a nice 30-minute program to activate all the muscles. You have to activate the shoulders. You have to activate the pecs, you know, the calf muscles and all the big muscle groups that are involved in the golf swing. So again, it's about activating those muscles.
That's fascinating. How about recovery, Jeff? When they come in after, you know, a grueling day on the golf course, what kinds of programs do you put them through with recovery?
Yeah, so our recovery, so we just talked about activation. So I could activate a player in about 30 minutes. The recovery, our average recovery time here in the Wellness Trail is about 2.5 hours. It's a whole different ballgame. So they'll come in and do, you know, potentially, you know, it's what they prefer too. But certainly manual therapy or massage therapy is very, very critical for recovery. So a player will come in, you know, maybe an hour getting a deep tissue massage. Maybe they'll go into the hyperbaric chamber. I know you've seen the hyperbaric chamber in our facility. Maybe they'll go in that for an hour. We also now have Normatech recovery compression boots, which are these boots that the player puts up. It goes all the way up to their groin. Happens is as these devices are going up into their groin, into the legs, what we do is we compress air into the Normatech compression booth. And that's about a half hour treatment. We put this device on and we compress air in. And what that's doing is, you know, when you become sore after a round, you get a lot of acid that builds up into the muscle. The acid's an enzyme, and that gives you the soreness. So from a recovery standpoint, the quicker we could get that acid and enzyme out of the muscle, you recover faster. So those Normatech compression, that's just compressing the muscles to try to get those acids and enzymes out, and that accelerates the compression. You know, I'm a chiropractor, so, you know, I'm going to, you know, have to say the number one requested treatment here, whether it's prior to a round or after a round, is the chiropractic adjustment. The players, because they're constantly compressing that spine, what we do is we adjust them to decompress the spine. So that could be both ways. What I do want to tell your viewers here is that I wouldn't massage a player an hour prior to a round. That's probably the worst thing you could do because they'll be in a sedative mood. You know, they might fall asleep on the second hole.
Like, that that might be good for the type A personalities.
you might be right with that. I do acupressure treatment on the head called omotherapy. That's actually to try to relax the brain. That is something I do. Some players come in a little nervous, and we just do a little kind of acupressure type treatment on the skull, just to kind of get them a little quiet down, so their mind's not chattering too much.
It's all fascinating. I really do. It's just what to explain the hyperbaric chamber, because I'm trying to remember where we were when you first had those chambers in your wellness center. How long ago was it and where was it? Do you remember?
I think it was Erin Hills in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
You had come in and you breathe 21% oxygen in the air right now. That's what we're all breathing. So someone came up with an idea is get it. It looks like a torpedo, although it's very spacious, by the way, in the torpedo. That's the chamber. And we put somebody in there and we basically zipper it up. It's airtight. And then we put a compressor on, and the compressor basically is all about pressure. So we're pressurizing the chamber, and that oxygen now gets deep into the lungs. And then what happens is the more oxygen in your body has many effects, and certainly recovery is one of them, because inflammation does not like an oxygenated environment. And that's why we do it. Now, to keep it simple for your listeners, you know, God forbid you have a heart attack. What's the first thing they do? They put oxygen on your on your face to get the oxygen in, because they don't want the tissue to die on the heart, right? Or if you ever had a bad burn on your skin, they put you in a hyperbaric chamber, and that revitalizes the tissue and it grows the tissue. So somebody a lot smarter than us came up with the idea, well, let's use this in the athletic world. LeBron James has one in his house. You know, Sidney Crosby uses one. Everybody's using them. You know, I think there's 600 units right now in the NFL as we speak. So they buy them and they keep them in their home. And some of the players actually sleep in them overnight to really hypersaturate their body with oxygen to get as much recovery as they can get in.
And so it really works as far as recovery goes. They bounce back much quicker. Is that the point?
That is the point. Yeah. So these are all recovery tools, whether it's that Normatec or whether it's the hyperbaric or whether it's an adjustment or manual therapy. We have other things too. Like we just bought in a new piece of equipment called a Thermex, which is just a pump that pumps in cold water into an area. So we're dealing with a caddy right now who's got a knee injury. He's coming up to us every day. We put the sleeve on him, and it's just a machine that's pushing cold water into the joint, and ice is always good for inflammation too. So we have that on board this year too, with the device called Thermex.
What about CBD? What's your thought on certified, CBD products? Because a lot of players, I know a lot of amateur players use CBD, and I'm sure a lot of pros use CBD too. In fact, some of the pros are endorsing different brands of CBD, but CBD, that hemp plant, we're not talking about THC. We're talking about the part of the hemp plant that's healing. What are your thoughts about CBD to fight inflammation and to calm you down a little bit?
Yeah, it's extremely popular. You know, I see it at all these events that we work at. It shows up. So I think it has its place. I think the side effects are minimal. And, it's an herb. There is a thing called supplements. Supplements are vitamins, minerals, herbs, and botanicals. Botanicals meaning plant products. And CBD is part of it. So it is natural. The side effects are minimal. And I think it's great to use, because the opioid addiction crisis, that's sailed. People are just done with that, because that has just banged up so many people, especially athletes. Getting addicted to the opioid addiction and suicide rates. And oh my God, you're talking about a pandemic or an epidemic. There's several million people. there's several million people dying a year from opioid addictions and over prescribed medication. So I like CBD oil. I love CBD cream. Just get a product that's a reputable product, and I think it has its place, and a lot of people are loving it, including Phil Mickelson.
Right? Well, let's talk about Phil. I'm glad you brought him up. I was about to bring up Phil, obviously becoming the oldest player to win a major championship. I was at the PGA Championship on Kiawah Island at the Ocean Club. And I'm so impressed with, you know, the difference that I saw in Phil. A couple weeks prior, he was saying, I can't sustain my focus. You know, as I get older, I'm having focus issues. He missed more cuts than he made, right? Nobody expected him to win, you know, the way he was playing, let alone go out there and play as well as he did and win the, on the Ocean course, a major championship. Yet he looked so calm and just so at ease. Do you think he was using some kind of CBD?
Yeah. Well, yeah, first of all, I've seen him 5 times this week. Said hello to him. He looks absolutely fantastic. You know, he's trimmed down. He seems happier than ever. You know, he's just got a bounce to his walk. Yeah, supposedly. So Dave Phillips, I don't know if you know who he is. He's a co-founder of TPI, Titleist Performance Institute.
Sure.
And he works with Phil very closely. They came up with that wellness coffee. I don't know if you've seen that.
Right.
And so he's drinking the wellness coffee. He's fasting. Like every week and a half, he's not eating anything for 2 days. And yes, he's doing CBD. You know, what the product is, I'm not sure what it is, which one it is, but he's using it. Plus, he's, you know, he got more into the exercise and the stability and mobility. He's working with a guy by the name of Sean Cochran, who's his trainer. And, he's putting everything into his body. And I think he's fantastic for the sport. Listen, when I went to Bethpage after the PGA Championship, I just turned 60. All those 50-year-old guys and girls that are on the driving range, they came out, oh, we saw what Phil Mickelson, we kind of know you do something like that. You know, could we work with you? So he was like a poster child for me because I'm into the fitness and I'm into the nutrition and I'm into everything that he's doing. So we're trying to bring some of those concepts right to Long Island, you know, that he's doing here at, in the worldwide situation, majors, you know, all around the world, they're looking at Phil Mickelson. So his popularity is bigger than ever.
And it's just such an inspiration, as you say, for anybody, you know, over the age of 50 who, you know, he looks better than he's ever looked, right? He's in better shape physically than he's been in. And he's dedicated, as you say, to taking care of his body, to eating right, to training, exercising. It's always been my mentality, Jeff, that, my best years are ahead of me, right? And I always said that. I said that to Billie Jean King when she, a couple years ago, and she had a big birthday, and she really appreciated that, because you have all these sports legends who've had these incredible careers, but they're still talented, they're still ambitious. You just don't turn a switch off because you age. And to see these guys like a Phil, like a Tom Brady. I mean, he mentioned Tom Brady in his press conference earlier in the week. And I really thought that was a great quote from Phil Mickelson. He said he gets so motivated and so inspired by Tom Brady to see the work that he puts in taking care of himself and eating properly. They are playing Augusta National, and Tom Brady was, got up like hours before everybody else and was in the gym and activating his muscles, as you say.
Yeah. we always say this to people, there's your chronological age. That's how old you are. So I'm 60. And then there's your biological age. How old do you actually feel? Right. Now, I'm going to be honest. I feel like I'm about 45. I'm still a little active. I'm still out there doing things. And that's a question for everybody. Some people, I say, well, chronologically, you're 50. Well, what do you feel? Well, I feel I'm 75. That's certainly not the best answer to hear from people. But I'm sure if you ask that question to Tom Brady, he'd probably say he's about 30. And if you ask that to Phil, he'd probably say he feels like he's in his 32. The other thing I want to just mention about Phil, too, is, as you probably know, he's got that psoriatic arthritis, which could be very, very debilitating. That actually attacks joints.
Wow.
Create a lot of problems in it. And by the way, that's an inflammatory situation. That's an inflammatory arthritis, psoriatic arthritis. So that diet that he's on is even more crucial, because he wants to tame down the inflammation from that autoimmune disease he has. And I'm giving him even more credit, because he's taking the responsibility. He probably said to him, said, listen, this thing could start attacking my joints and it could end my career. And that's even more impressive than his actual game, his golf game, because he's put it in remission, which is great.
That's incredible. And that, do you think that's totally based on his diet, Jeff?
Well, there are foods that create inflammation. So psoriatic arthritis, by the way, is an autoimmune disease, which means your body creates a chemical that goes into joints and makes a lot of inflammation. So you would want to eat foods that actually decrease inflammation. There are foods like ginger or turmeric that reduces inflammation. If you drink a beer, that's going to increase the inflammation. If you have a hamburger, that's going to increase the inflammation. So he's on an anti-inflammatory diet, reducing inflammation, not just for the psoriatic, but for his golf game too. Because what I told you before, when someone comes in with that acid in the enzymes, in the muscles, what is that? That is inflammation. They're inflamed. You feel sore, you're inflamed.
I wonder, I'd love to know what the food group is, you know, that is more anti-inflammatory.
Well, blackberries, blueberries are really, really good. Like I said, turmeric, garlic, omega-3 fatty acids, which are fish, like tofu. Tofu is good, or maybe having a piece of salmon, or maybe having some sushi like 2-3 times a week is fantastic. Yeah. I still play basketball. Just a quick story. I play on Thursday nights. If I try to have a sushi meal Thursday afternoon, and if I do, I don't know if it's in my head, but I think it's working. I get out of bed on Friday after I play basketball on Thursday night, because those omega-3s, which are anti-inflammatories, if I don't do that, I have a hard time getting out of bed Friday. My hips hurt, my back hurts. So I'm eating some foods that day to reduce inflammation, and it works for me.
I just love hearing all these things that we should all be doing, you know, to fight aging and to fight inflammation. I know on your website, you have a section, a wellness section that all of us can benefit from, educating ourselves on living a more healthy lifestyle. And you have a area there called 7 Habits of Healthy Aging. And I printed it out because I just think this is such, you know, so educational, from hormone balance to supplement balance to stress management, reducing stimulant use, regular exercise, obviously, eating frequency, balanced eating, and high insulin lifestyle habits. So of those categories, you want to talk about a couple of them?
Yeah. Well, we got to talk about blood sugar regulation, which I believe is number 7 on that. So right now, 10% of Americans are diabetic. So we have 350 million people in America, 35 million have diabetes, which is a blood sugar control problem. The CDC says, by the way, in the next 5 years, that 40% are going to be diabetic. So we're going to go from about 30 million in the U.S. to about 120 million. That have diabetes. And that's, you're at a disadvantage if you're diabetic to heart problems, lung problems, kidney problems. So let's just reverse that into golf. Blood sugar regulation, which means that's your energy level. You don't want to start eating huge meals maybe before you eat, or maybe even eating a meal on the golf course, because your blood sugar will go up. And as quick as it goes up, it crashes, it goes down. So you want to be kind of in a steady state while you're playing golf. So what I'm telling golfers to do is graze all day long on the golf course. Have some blueberries and blackberries, or maybe some organic peanut butter on, you know, Ezekiel bread. And every couple of holes, 3 or 4 holes, maybe just nibble on those things just to keep your blood sugar nice and steady. Because that's going to control your mood. Versus showing up to the golf course, not eating at all. And then you get to the halfway house and then you have 2 Gatorades and a hamburger, potato chips, a Snickers bar. Your blood sugar is going to race all the way up. You'll get energy for about 15 minutes. But by the time you're on the 11th hole, your energy levels are going to dip, and that's not controlling your blood sugar. So So blood sugar regulation is absolutely key on the golf course and even in just health in general.
Absolutely. It's so important. I notice that all the time. If I eat, I can't eat when I'm playing golf. I mean, first of all, it just makes you feel so full, especially a burger.
Great. Here's the deal. Here's a couple of tips for the golfers. You want to graze forget about the golf course, just graze all day long, which means eating like 6-7 small meals a day. And then on the golf course, the hydration. And we tell golfers every time they take a swing, go back to your bag and take an ounce or two of water. So if you shoot an 80, you're going to take 80 ounces of water. And that means you won't be dehydrated. Because like I said before, if you're dehydrated, your performance goes down. Start making bad shots. Your muscles don't work well. And your brain doesn't think well, too. The decision-making process goes off when you're dehydrated. So go back to the bag every time you take a shot and do the sip of water.
But what, Jeff, I mean, water is not enough a lot of times if you're in real hot and humid conditions. So what supplements do you recommend to add to your water for the hydration issue?
Yeah, that's a good point. So electrolytes. So, electrolytes are minerals, right? So as far as hydration goes, if you just take water and I just put electrolyte tablets in the water, you think that's going to taste good? It's going to taste terrible, right? So, there comes Gatorade now. So Gatorade does have some electrolytes, but unfortunately has a lot of sugar, right? So my point is still drink the water. I still want you to drink the water. I don't want you to add anything into the water, but I want you to eat the rainbow, the color of the rainbow, during your rounds or after your rounds. So you're back to your blueberries and your blackberries and your raspberries and your cranberries. And if you eat the colors of the rainbow, that will enable you, that gives you the minerals. The minerals, which makes your brain and spinal cord work. Without minerals, it doesn't work. So I want you to do the water, but combine it with the rainbow colors while you're playing golf. And that's going to be a great hydration program there. All right. Now, listen, there is a thing called hydrolytes. I'll plug them. Hydrolytes are is a supplement that you could put in the water that gives you all the minerals too, but it just doesn't taste that good.
All right, let's get back to the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines. Torrey Pines, the South Course, is just a grueling layout. It's playing over 7,652 yards as a par 71. What do you think about the golf course? And what kind of treatments will you provide for the players that may be different based on this layout? Other U.S. Opens.
Sure. Yeah, I whenever I show up to the U.S. Open, I think you know this, I take a golf cart and I just ride around all the holes just to give me a better understanding of the golf course. And it also helps me to prepare treatments for the players and also the caddies. So, like you said, it is the longest course on the PGA Tour, by the way. So this is a long course, which means there's going to be more steps involved. There's going to be more walking involved, and that's going to mean more compression into the body. So the lower extremity we're probably going to see more problems with the lower body than the upper body, just from the walking of those 7,600 plus yards. So we're probably going to see a lot of foot ailments. We've already seen a few already. We also have a caddy, I just told you, has a knee problem. And then we'll go into the lower back, the famous lower back, which is the number one problem, not only with golfers, but everybody in the world. So we're prepared. We're prepared for all that. I got all of the blistering agents and pain relieving ointments and all those other things we said, and we're always prepared. And I always go back to that Chambers Bay. I don't know if you remember that
one. Oh yeah, I was there.
The walk from the green to the tee box was an extra like 5,000 yards. And man, we saw so many injuries because of that additional 5,000 yards of walking.
Unbelievable. So who are you picking this weekend? It's turned out to be an incredible tournament. As you know, it always is. I mean, I was there in 2008 when Tiger Woods beat Rocco Mediate in that sudden death playoff hole after playing 18 holes on Monday. Who are you picking this weekend?
Yes, I'm a big, huge TPI guy, Titleist Performance Institute. So all the TPI boys that train with Greg Rose and Dave Phillips, I'm going. But I'm going with Charlie Hoffman, number one. The reason why I'm going with Charlie is I seen him two times this week with a golf bag on his back running around the course. And I'm like, what is he doing? You know, so he's actually working out with the golf bag on his back. And I saw him run to his car the other day. I'm like, it must be a training technique he's doing. So that's coming back to Bethpage. That's story for sure. So I'm going to put him there. I also saw him on the green. He was putting for about an hour the other day, barefooted. He had all kinds of lasers and all kinds of devices there with his feet, trying to get that ground reaction force and trying to get a better feel of the poana grass on the greens. So anybody that's doing something unusual like that, I'm like, that might mean something down the line. So Charlie Hoffman, number one. I also saw Patrick Cantlay earlier in the week, and then I'm going to go with Adam Scott, and I'll throw in Phil Mickelson, and that will be my super perfecta, those four golfers.
Well, what a great practice you have all these years, and everything you're doing for the USGA, for both the pros and the amateurs. Dr. Jeff Poplarski, always a pleasure to catch up with you, and hope one of your guys wins on Sunday.
Sounds good, Ann. Thanks for your time. Always appreciate it.
Thanks so much.